Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Well, we've been singing that song for a while now in the church. It's a powerful song. I love it. I love declaring it. It gets me going. Gets the energy flowing in my bones, the blood pumping. But as we've been singing it, I've kind of been looking at it and I've kind of been thinking, does he turn everything together for good? And maybe some people have even been singing it going, yeah, well, I'm still waiting for that to happen. And it's been a bit hard to actually sing those words. And so today I want to look at the scripture that song actually came from. Does that sound good? And I'm going to do a little bit of like a teach-preach today. So a little bit of teaching. I can't help but preach. I'm sure I'll get passionate at some point. But we're going to teach because it's important that the church learns. And something I love about City Point North, I love about you and us, and is that we always come with an expectation to learn. And I love that, you know, the whole idea of church is that you've got people and you've got pastors, right? And the people live life and the pastors have been called to study the Word of God, to pull it apart for you. This is why we always get into the Greek and the Hebrew and to teach so that we can live bold, faith-filled, solid-foundationed Christian lives as believers. So we're going to pull this apart a little, just a little today. And so we're going to start with Romans 8, 27 to 28 is our core scripture. And this is what it says. It says, "Now God, who searches our hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit that lives in us is, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, you may or may not, I think you may, agree with me today that I don't think that enough of us see the scripture actually work in our lives. Is it okay to be honest? We're a pretty honest church. So when we look at scriptures, sometimes it's okay to challenge that scripture. It's God's word. He's a big boy. He can look after himself. And so I think it's quite healthy, actually, for Christians to challenge the Word of God, because that's how we get down to the depths and the truths of the Word. When we don't challenge the Word of God, we live with faith tainted because we believe half of it, but the other half we don't see a result. So we don't know what to do. So we just don't read those chapters, you know, especially Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. So we don't understand it. All right, so we just don't go there. And there's truths that God wants to bring into our lives. So I was singing this song the first week we sang it. And as I was singing it, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Those words are true to me, but I've heard so many things in my life. I don't think the church or many Christians actually see the fruit of the song we're singing. So I started to ask the question, why? Why? And dig a little bit deeper. And because we don't see the evidence of God working all things together for good, we continue to ask an age-old question, which we've all heard and probably even all asked. Why does God allow evil and suffering to continue? If God, we often say, if God really loves us, if God really is love, how could love allow suffering and evil? That's a genuine question, isn't it? And so when the waves roar and crash down in our lives, the truth is things don't always work together for good. So I've called today's message, "When Waves Roar," and you've probably already started to put a Bible story together in your mind with Peter and he's stepping out of the boat when the waves were roaring. And we'll get there soon. And I'll tell you what, the 9 o'clock service is missing out today. I'm going to go just a little bit deeper with you guys and what I got to go with them. And they just didn't draw it out of me, but you guys are already, I can see it in your eyes, the passion. And when we were worshiping, Bray, when you did that transition, I could feel it in the room today. So I think I'm just going to go there with you. I've just been on reserves, not sure if I was going to bring it out. But here we are. We'll get there at the end. When waves roar in our life, it represents hurt becoming unbearable. Has anyone ever had that? I think we all agree. Sin seems to be allowed to run free. God seems to be okay with death and suffering. And our mind is like, what? You know, it seems as though God doesn't care, so you live the way you want instead. God doesn't care, so you live the way you want. But when we look at the cross of Jesus, as we just did through communion, we have to conclude that it can't be that God doesn't love us. It can't be that. God gave His Son for us. Jesus gave up that eternal connection and bond and love that's pure and relationship. Think of lost ones and the love that you seek from them, or a spouse or a son or a daughter. The love he gave up that, you know, on steroids, that went on forever and ever beforehand, like eternal. And He gave that. It can't be that He doesn't love us. And it can't be that He is indifferent or detached from our condition. He went through anguish, torture, suffering, rejection from His own Father in heaven when hanging on that cross, but also rejection from the people He came to actually save and gave it all up for. He understands your feelings. He understands your emotions, not just how you understand them, and not just how you want your husband or wife or loved one to understand them. He understands them on a level that we don't even understand or can't fathom. He understands it in a whole different way. In fact, God takes our misery and our suffering so serious that He was willing to take it all on Himself on the cross. So it can't be those things that we often put it to. He doesn't understand. Well, He's never lived what I lived. He was only here for 3 years. It can't be any of that. He was perfect, so He doesn't know the weight of sin. Can't be that. He took yours and mine on the cross, which is why He can save us. So the cross of Jesus shows us that He truly is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He truly is with you. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, He's been there. And He knows the way out. And He's with you. So it can't be those things. So to understand why we don't see the reality of God turning all things together for good, we need to look just below the surface of this scripture. And this is where we get into word meanings, which is my job. So I'm here to teach today. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes." So the words there, "work together," is actually just one word in the Greek. And it's actually synergio. And it means co-working God with us. I really like that. God with us. One whom God employs as an assistant. So working together, we often view this scripture like this. Things are going on in our world, a lost one or just whatever. Things are happening in our world. And so we sit back independently of God and have an expectation that God is there going, oh, there's problems here and we've got to work this. We've got to work this all together for their good. But it's not about the situation. It's not about working the situation. It's about working together with God so that things turn for good. Can you see the difference, the paradigm there? So it's not God reaching down and going, it's okay. It's okay, Mel, just stay there. I'm just going to work this for you and then I'll give it back to you when it's good. It's about Mel living a life unto the Lord with faith, with biblical principles, living according to the Word of God and stepping out in prayer and fasting, coming to church and being trained and renewed by the reading of the Bible, and going, God, let's work this together and let's see good come out of this situation. Working with God together for good. But often I think we have this mindset that God should fix and do everything and we should just walk in the rewards. But when God made you and I, He didn't make us for this purpose. God actually didn't design you and I and put you and I on earth so that He could just rule, right, and we could just live in blessing. That's actually not the biblical reason for God creating the heavens and the earth and you and me. Yes, He rules. Yes, we reap the benefits, but in synergy, in togetherness, in relationship, in one accord, just like the Trinity is working together in one accord. Remember that message where we are actually have been invited into the Trinity? Remember that message a year or so ago that I preached? I use those really big words, you know. And we are invited into this relational living with God, with the Father, the Spirit. And we are invited into that. That's why and how we are created to live as human beings, is in relationship with God. And in that relationship, there is the fruits and there is the joy and there is the love. But we are taught here on planet Earth to live and just receive. But God doesn't want to just give. He wants to work with. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be with Him, not just reaping, but being. Does this make sense? It's a deeper version of relationship. If you're married in the house, you know what I'm talking about. When you first get married, you get married and you just want that person to come home and you're, oh, thank God, they still love me. They came home today. This is great. You know, and then we have children and we start to build life. But there is a point in that relationship where you be, where you are one. Two come together and they become one in marriage. You be, where I now know what Mel thinks. I act on behalf of Mel because I am part of Mel. We are one. We aren't two people reaping the rewards of being in marriage, but we are in one accord in all things. And that's how God wants to be with you. So that's what this word means, is working with God so that things turn together for good. When we work with God, this is good. When we work with God, things have no option but to turn together for good. Did you know that? Things actually have no option, because the options are the natural world or the spiritual world. But if you live in the spiritual world, you reap spiritual rewards. If you are dwelling in the spiritual, or in the Lord God Almighty, if you dwell in Him and are continually being revitalized in and through Him and living His Word in relationship through, oh, this is why we're all here tonight in prayer, right? Christians pray. So when we are in this one accord with God, we reap spiritual things. Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, to speak into life, into existence that the world can't yet see but has been ordained in heaven. Okay, so when we only reap the spiritual, which means there's no other option for you and I. No wonder why things are turning together for good, because the world way, the world system, the world pain and the world suffering has no sting over you anymore. That's what the scriptures tell us, that death has no sting over us because we are in the spiritual, not in the natural. It's only ever the flesh that is overcome through the sting of the world. And it's only ever the spirit man that is strengthened through faith. Can we see the difference here today? Is when we are living in the spirit, as the scriptures tell us. Living in the spirit. The word love here. So work together for good for those who love God is agape love. And it means to take pleasure in God. Or I like some of these other definitions, to prize God above other things. So we prize God above other things, or unwilling to abandon God or do without him. Can I ask you today, could we be unwilling to abandon the things of God? So when there's choices how to raise the kids, when there's choices how to honor our boss, there's no choice of abandoning God and his ways and his character, his virtues. We don't abandon prayer. It's not a choice. We don't abandon the things of God. This is love, agape love. When we have agape love in our world, we choose to not abandon God. But what do we abandon? The things of this world. We abandon the things of this world. So the way stops roaring when I work with God and I live a life that lifts him up above all things. So then the next question that we have to ask is, how do we work with God? Okay, so I've got 2 points if you're a note taker. I don't normally do this, but we've got 2 points here today. And the first one is, we abandon our lives and not God's ways. Let me say that again. We abandon our lives and we don't abandon God's ways. Jesus said it like this. He said in Matthew 10, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake," let me say that again, "but he who loses his life for God's sake, not for our own sake or our own comforts, but for God's sake, will find it." See, when we abandon our own ways, our own opinions, our own comforts, our own desires, that's where we find life. It's in that space right there of abandonment. See, we live in a world today, don't we, that it's my decisions, my opinions, my ways. And so what happens is we stand on that. Many people actually die on that sword. It's called the sword of self-righteousness. We die on the sword of, I can make my own choices. I can make my own decisions. Well, I don't think it's wrong, so it's not wrong. Or there's many ways to God, long as it's all to God. You know, and we have all these little things in our world, and we actually die on those swords. That's why we have marches, and that's why we have all these protests and all that sort of stuff, is people are dying on their sword. But here's the thing, that's a sort of self-righteousness. It's a sort of self-righteousness. But when we abandon these ways, now this is opposite culture, anti-cultural, right? But when we abandon those ways, that is the moment where we actually find life and liberty. See, if you really want freedom, you abandon yourself. It's anti-cultural. This is what the Word of God teaches us. If you really, when I gave up wanting everything in life to be when I gave up wanting our marriage to be my way, that's when I found true marriage. That's when I found true unity. When I finally could get over my self-righteous sword and lay that thing down and step over that, rather than trying to hold it and fight all these little battles. You know, I love the saying Pastor Ricky used to have, you know, is this the sword you want to die on? The hill you want to die on? You know, we gotta choose and go, hang on, this is just a hill that I've created. It's not actually the hill of battle. It's not the hill even that the enemy's created. He's used me to create my own mountain. Because he's deceptive, right? He's a liar. And so he's used my own ways for me to put up walls in front of me so I can't even walk forward myself. He's using my own opinions, my own desires, and I've put these things around me, and then I'm looking going, I actually can't move because I've put all these things around me. But God says, let me put his ways around us so that we aren't boxed in by our ways anymore and we can move freely around. You know, it's just a whole different way of thinking. We find ourselves working with God in that moment for His purposes. We find ourselves positioned in a way where all things can work together for good, because we seek first and foremost eternal things. When you seek eternal things, there's no other option but then for them to come together for good, because they're eternal things. So if we could get ourselves as Christians to a place where we lay our things down and we pick up the commission, we pick up the word, the principles, the way of living, putting the armor of God on and living out the fruits of the Spirit, and we seek out these things, it's in that moment that we actually see things turn together for good. Why? Because the things turning together for good are the things that are eternal and give God glory. Wouldn't that be an amazing place to be living in, where you just got this synergy marriage happening? Paul said it like this. He said, Galatians 5, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. And then this, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live as Christians, let's walk as Christians. Which brings me to point number two, work with God. I love this saying that Pastor Mark has. He says, faith is the currency of heaven. It's a good saying. Faith is the currency of heaven. To walk in the Spirit, we work in faith. Let me say that again. To walk in the Spirit, we actually work in faith. Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. So they went out, they preached, then the Lord worked through. So faith looks like you're actually going out and you're actually speaking the gospel. So we're doing something and then the Lord worked through. 2 Corinthians 6, we then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Again, they worked with God. James 2, do you see that faith was working together with His works? So our faith now with His works. And by works, faith was made complete. So we have this thing that, this paradigm in life, especially in the Christian life, and I preach this myself, there's this paradigm where we know we are saved by God's grace through faith, not through works. We're saved through faith, not works. So we know that. But then there's the other scripture that says, but faith without works is dead. So you have to ask, what is it? Is it faith or works? Well, the answer is it's both. The revelation of salvation ought to compel us to work with God. And I think Paul taught this to the Galatians. They were like, well, if it's faith, well, can't we just live how we want? Can't we just have multiple wives and just do whatever we want to do? And Paul's like, well, hang on. When you actually have the revelation of what Jesus did on the cross for you, it's impossible to still live the way of the world. So we don't need these rules and these regulations. It's not about that. It's literally, how can you be a Christian and live like a non-Christian? It's just these paradigms aren't meant to come together. And so works is extremely important. Works and the way we live and the things we do is strengthening the very faith that allows God to work with us to bring all things together for good. So we have a part to, is this good so far? Is anyone learning? Yep. And so I just want to talk about working with God. So we are working with God when we give more than just our heart to Him. We are working with God when we give just more our soul to Him. But we also give our life to Him. That's it. There's an interesting choice of words. We work with God when we give Him more than just our heart. And when we give Him more than just our soul, that's just called being a Christian. But when we, to work with God, we give Him our life. In other words, we give Him Monday to Sunday in its completion. Every moment, every thought, every action, I am a Christian. I am working with God. What does the Bible say about that? That's what I'm going to do. I'm not even going to entertain my opinion. I'm going to get God's. How do I raise my children? Oh, sweet. Okay. Hey, hun, we need to do this. It's what the Bible says. We've been doing it a bit wrong. You know, when they're 6 years old, they're not meant to be making their own choices because the Bible says to train. So let's start training. So start training your children and you'll reap life. He'll turn that child together for good for you. And so that's how we work with God. In this kind of living, we adopt Jesus's mission. Okay, we adopt a heavenly perspective of life's value. And we work and have family, but not separated from Bible living. And I've just put that in there for a reason, because I know that many people look at me and Mel and other leaders in the church and we go, well, that's your job. You know, you work at the church. You're always in a church atmosphere. You're praying every day. So, of course, it's prayers easy for you and all this sort of stuff. But it's the idea here is that we do work. We do labor. We do have friends. We do have family. So I just counseled someone just the other day, how do I pray every day when I've got young children? And I said, well, stop praying the way you pray. I said, Paul said to pray without ceasing. So rather than trying to have a half an hour prayer meeting every morning before you get going, I said, why don't you just change the way you pray and adopt every thought into prayer? So you can literally walk your life in a prayerful life in connection with God continually to and fro like this and live a life of prayer rather than trying to have an old-fashioned Pentecostal half-an-hour prayer meeting every morning before you get into your day. See, because it's God's not an attachment. The Bible's not an attachment. It's a way of life. It's a we are Christians. You are a son and a daughter of God, so we work with. There's another thing is Peter stepped out of the boat and then the waves stopped roaring. And so we love that and we think, you know, Jesus did an amazing miracle. But that's not the truth. See, all things turned together for good for him and the waves flattened out. Not because Jesus independently made it happen, but it's because Peter stepped out of the boat, worked with God. We work with God. See, Jesus would have stayed on the roaring sea. And if Peter never hopped out, we wouldn't have a story in the Bible. The waves wouldn't have flattened. But when he did something very practical and he stood out, he goes, Jesus, deep water, sharks, whales, all that stuff. You know, he knew the story of Jonah and probably full of fear. And he goes, but that's Jesus. He's doing it. Gave it a go. He knew he could sink, but he worked with. And Jesus goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Heaven's actually pausing. They were all celebrating, flying around the throne, and they all stopped and go, whoa, 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 whoa. He's doing it. He's doing it. His leg's up. He's about to do it. Okay, let's flatten that sea for him. And they worked with him. Can I tell you this today? There might be waves that feel like they're about to overcome you. But step out in faith and you will see all of heaven shut down and form a miracle on your behalf. They will turn. If you're praying for people, do more than just praying. Speak it. Declare it. Start to buy things in preparation for it. Do you mind? Mel and I are on a journey right now of being foster parents, which is something God put in our heart 20 years ago. We already have our nursery. Because it's not about will we get a foster child, it's when we get the foster child. Faith with works is so powerful. And here's the joy to me. Here's the joy to me. Is we are sitting back, sipping lattes. And it's already done. It's already done. Because faith has spoken. Faith, you know, there's that saying, actions speak louder than words. Yeah. Actions speak louder than words. Doesn't matter what's been said, but what you do speaks louder. Because it's faith. Because it's faith. This is why we pray for the sick and they recover. This is why the Bible said to go to the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil. We all know that that's just a symbolic thing on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, when you come to a man of faith will get a jug of oil and he'll start to work with God. Where hope abounds, where faith is bounds, there'll be a miracle. And so the oil isn't just, this is why we do commissioning services every year. That isn't just a religious thing we do. It's a faith-filled step of surrender and unity with Father God. And he goes, yeah, I wrote that in the Word. So when you actually do that and step out in faith, healing happens. That's why people get healed. Ian testified, cancer, gone. I can testify myself. God healed me when I went to Graham Eden in Townsville and said, Graham, I'm desperate. And I hated the doctors, very practical. Didn't want to go to the doctors. So I chose faith instead of a real life remedy. And I said, Pastor Graham, I said, the Bible says if you anoint me with oil, I'm going to be healed. I was only about 19. I asked my boss if I could go at lunchtime to get prayed for at the church because I was nearly fainting. And I said, it's what the Bible says. And I'm really scared to go to the doctors in case they operate on me because my appendix is about to blow. Went all the way around. I was nearly fainting. I just knew. And I said, they're going to operate. And I said, I'm a bit scared. I said, but the Bible says, if you anoint me. He goes, oh, I can do that, Gray. Comes down, bit of oil. Goes, God, heal him in Jesus' name. That was it. Felt the same. Went to work. Healed. No pain. Glory to God. Oh, man. I haven't even got to my last one. You really want to hear this. 30 seconds. Okay, you ready for a massive download? All right, I'm going to just go, but, all right? Verse 28, at the end, it said, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. To his purpose is a word called prothesis, a Greek word. And here's the weirdness of this word, is it means shewbread or showbread. From the Old Testament tabernacle, which symbolizes the material abundance that God gives. Material abundance. A car, a house, a baby. Material abundance. Healing that God gives. There were 12 loaves of bread. And every Sabbath, the Levites would go in and they would eat the 12 loaves of bread that were left on a table in the tabernacle uncovered and were still hot after 7 days. They would eat that. It was on show. It was show bread. It was to bring God glory. And they would eat it and put another 12 loaves down till the next Sabbath, a week later. And then they would eat it and put it. They were showing that God is our provider. That everything good comes from the Lord. That the tabernacle was set up for us to work with God because God is the God that forgives sin and turns all things together for good, to God's glory. So to his purpose is more accurate to his glory, the things that get turned together for good in our lives are to bring him glory. Can I say this? If you're believing right now for God to turn something, can we stand to our feet? We're just going to pray. If you're believing for God to turn something together for good in your world, you better be sure that you're going to give God glory. And the reason for God to move on your behalf is because when God moves on your behalf, all glory goes to Him and not to you. Even if it's a silly car or a crazy house, the purpose for that is because that house will be used to bring people in and to train them in the things of God. That car will be to bring, pick people up and to bring them to church on Sunday. Whatever God gives me is going to be on show for all of Israel to see that my God reigns and He is glorified. Let's lift our hands right now. Close our eyes because God's about to move. Father, I speak right now. Yes, there will be provision. Yes, there will be an abundance of blessing. Yes, you will show up and bring the healing. Yes, you will restore. Yes, you will bring salvation where it's needed in our family. God, you will do these things. But as a church, we declare that the gates of hell will not prevail, and all the world will see that our God reigns. He is glorious. He is high. He is lifted up through our lives and through you working with us and us working with you. We declare today that thing in our world, in Jesus' mighty name, will turn together for good right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Which means let it be done. Can you just say right now, amen? There's your faith. Come on. That's it. That's your faith. You're putting words to what you're seeing in the Spirit. Now start to move on that every day. Set the room up. Don't wait for the child to come first. Step out in faith, and God will bring deliverance for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You might be here today. You've listened to this message. And I want you to know the greatest faith you could ever do, the greatest step is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And there's many Christians around, but you might never have done that. And I just want you to know right now, all of heaven is silent because they're waiting just for you. So today, if you would like to give your heart to God, I'm just going to ask every eye be closed. We're not going to embarrass or anything like that. I just want to pray with you, but if that's you, if you'd like to give your heart to God and place your faith in Jesus, could you just boldly lift your hand so we can pray and proclaim you as a Christian here in this place? So just, we're going to look around a couple times. Just be really bold. No one's looking. It's just you, me, and God. Just lift your hand here this morning. I see your hand there, sir. Is there anyone else here this morning? You can put it down. Thank you. Is there anyone else here this morning? No one's watching, so I don't mean to embarrass, but there's a couple here today. I don't know you. I can't even see anybody, to be quite honest, but there's a couple here, and you both want to make the decision, so I'm just going to tell you that he does too and she does as well, because you don't know that right now, but in your heart, you both want to make the decision. I'm just going to... No one's watching. It's literally just you and me. Would you just be bold right now? Just make that faith step. Just one more time. I'm just going to look. Thank you, Jesus. I just felt that in the spirit. That's why I said that. We don't have any scanning things on the door, looking through eyeballs to know the heart of a man. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Lord God, I just thank you for the hands that went up this morning. And I thank you for the hearts that opened. Lord, I'm just looking for a hand. I just want to pray with them. But all you're looking for is a heart. And so, Father, the heart opened. And I just pray that you'd move in their world. Thank you for those seeds. And I thank you, Lord, that their lives are about to be blessed in crazy ways. Because they're going to show the glory of God to their family and friends around by what you do in their lives. We declare you and acknowledge you as Jesus, as our God. Today we make that decision to follow you and call ourselves Christians, believers, born again, all that sort of stuff. But we're a son and a daughter of God. That's what matters. In Jesus' name, Amen. Can we put our hands together one more time? Give God praise. Kingdom was changed today.